Good morning, everyone. The third Thursday of the month, one of the most popular Mary Griffith Show segments is when we have Kathy Carpenter, our master gardener, stop by with all of her free advice that she dispenses. So if you have any questions about your lawn, your garden, your landscaping, your vegetables, your flowers, your shrubs, your trees, I mean, if you've got a question about something that grows, Kathy is here to try to answer your questions, and she's brought her big book of knowledge,
of course,
she can probably pretty well do that. I'll start it off. We've got a problem. My husband and I trimmed back everything, thinking fall was here. Everything is blooming again. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Is that dangerous now? What should
we
do?
Well, it depends on what the everything is, actually.
Well, some of our ornamental bushes in the front have put out new flowers.
Mm-hmm.
My Japanese lily, Japanese iris, which I cut completely down to the ground, which is very successful for me. It really grows back thick and lush. It's growing again. It's green.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, should I worry about that?
Well, I would just let it be. Don't try to cut anymore.
Okay.
And just, I mean, it will get the picture the minute we start getting freezes. but it is more advisable to wait until, you know, you've got a reliable cold before you start doing your fall pruning.
Yeah. Well, we probably started too early because it was nice and it was cool. And we didn't know when we'd have time to do it again, so we're like everybody else.
Right.
And my husband thought he'd mowed the grass for the last time, and that may not be a true statement.
Well, my husband mowed yesterday, so I am going
to
say.
So he may, I don't know if he's going to try to get by with it or if he's going to have to do it one more time.
But our lawn grasses are, for the most part, cool season grasses. They
like
cool weather.
Grow, yeah. Yes. Okay, well, folks, your questions are the most important at 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. Please do not delay, because we absolutely want to get what your questions are all about. So, Kathy, you always come prepared.
I try.
One thing that we want to tout a little bit is the next Master Gardener's class. How many people have achieved Master Gardener status in, like, the Adams County area? Do you have any idea?
Well, Adams County has traditionally had more students, but, you know, it's like each year you have a different number.
Well, I know we have Brown and
Hancock
and Pike,
the last
yeah.
time because we didn't have enough people. But I would say that in Adams we probably have somewhere between 20-25 active master gardeners. And that means the ones that have done enough of the volunteer work to kind of continue to be master gardener.
Because it's not just a classroom setting, although you have to, you know, have the classroom setting. It's very intense. I mean, you learn a lot. It's almost like a semester's worth of college work, really, almost. And then you have to go out and hone those skills
exactly.
by working at some kind of public project, which might be at the Veterans Home or at the John Wood Mansion or wherever. I mean,
yeah.
you can do it anywhere. But I love it when I see a sign up that said, this garden restored or renovated by master gardeners. That's always nice. So
it is. But, you know, our main purpose is educational because, of course, we are a branch of the university. And we are our first mission is to educate people as to gardening and, you know, help them solve their problems and get more enthused about making our city and counties beautiful.
Well, we just announced that the city's going to be selling trees, and indeed the fall
yes.
is the perfect time to plant a tree. So the city will
mm-hmm.
be having those trees available. Don't plant them under a power line, please. But they
or
are
pick
to,
a small tree
or
to
pick
plant.
A, or pick a short tree,
fire.
Right. So that might be something that people are kind of looking at and interested in. If you are in the market to add a tree or replace a tree,
mm-hmm.
now's the time to do that. And if your
That's
tree
right.
did not rebound this summer, it's probably not going to, so maybe now is the time to.
Yeah, some of them haven't shown the damage immediately. Trees can, you know, if they're not uprooted, they can just go into a slow decline and eventually will die in a couple, 3 years.
Much like I feel I am someday, so.
Well, what can I say?
Should we fertilize that tree or is that tree going dormant now, even though we're planting it? Should we fertilize or not?
Well, with trees, Most of the time, if you're planting them in a lawn setting, the kind of fertilizer you put on your lawn is equally good for trees. And so that I tend to not be enthused about periodic drilling and fertilizing trees
those
anyway.
Those little sticks and stakes at the drip line?
Yeah, and, okay. And then in the commercial nurseries will actually go even deeper and throw, you know, fertilizer into the holes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily hurt, but most of the feeder roots are very close to the surface anyway, and they like the same stuff that's good for lawns.
So should we do root stimulator instead of fertilizer?
Well, again, root stimulators are actually a vitamin, I believe, one of the vitamin Bs. And normally it's recommended for bare root planting. So if you're planting like a bare root rose or some other, I mean, some trees are bare root too, but, you know, that you kind of soak it in a solution of this tree, this root stimulator, mm-hmm. and then you plant it. But again, it might not hurt to put, you know, to water with the root stimulator after you've planted. But for the most part, most important thing is that you don't really enrich the soil you're planting it in. Because, you know, when you're planting a tree, you need to dig a hole that is definitely not going to plant the tree deeper than when it was growing to begin with. But you want to make that hole wide.
It's not so much deep. The root ball deep is fine, but you've got to make it really round.
Nice and round. And instead of putting in all this nice garden soil, put the soil you dug out back into the hole. Because that particular gardens, if you give the rich garden soil, the trees takes it, it'll love it. Puts the roots right out into that garden soil. Then it hits the real stuff. And it says, oh, no, I'm not going in there. And it just stops spreading its roots. Whereas if it's exposed to your regular dirt right away, then it'll say, okay, this is what I've got. I got to deal with it. And they'll spread.
I think we call that it's easier to go from coach to first class than it is to go from first class back to coach.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
We have a caller who wants to get in, and thank you so much for your interest. What's your question for Kathy Carpenter, our master gardener?
Well, let's talk tulips.
Okay. I've got tulips. Is this the mayor? Is this Mr. Mayor?
Yes, it is.
The mayor of Paloma on the line on Paloma's beautification project.
Okay. While I plant tulips in the fall, can I raise them in the spring when they're dying back?
It's not the world's greatest idea. Well, actually, tulips are problematic in this part of the country anyway, except for the what they call the species tulips, which are not the big, gorgeous, large blooms that people want to see, you know, like when they're driving past your yard or through town, because the species tulips are more likely to come back for you. You have to understand that tulips' native land is like the area of the Middle East, like Turkey and Iran and those places.
Well, I have Turkey.
But then how come they're so popular in Netherlands?
Because they're beautiful. But everybody loves them, but they're planted with the understanding that most of them will not come back.
Okay.
And they don't.
And deer love them.
Yeah,
and chipmunk love them, too.
Okay, now I've just got them this year, these mm-hmm. peony tulips.
Yeah.
Is there anything special I need to do with them?
No. I mean, you can, basically, you'd be better off leaving them in the ground and maybe saying a lot of prayers over them and hoping that they will return the next year.
Uh-huh.
If you want to give them their best bet, I mean, if you're planting tulips and you want to give them their best bet at maybe coming back, you really have to plant them in a place where they will get not much water when they are dormant. In other words, if you've got, after they've bloomed and the leaves are in the process of dying back, you really don't want to be treating them to your lawn sprinkler system that goes into the flower beds, because they were meant to go completely, they live in a deserty kind of climate. That's why they kind of do better in places like Colorado, unless, of course, they're near lawn sprinkler systems.
Okay, now, is bone meal, is that recommended to feed them as you, when you
bone meal is a good all-purpose kind of fertilizer for tulips, because the ingredients in bone meal are what the bulb needs to develop. It isn't like if they don't like a lot of nitrogen fertilizer, because that's just going to make the leaves grow. It's not going to help with the flowers. Or
will it hurt them, like after they die down and I plant other flowers in there?
No, not at all, unless you dig into the bulbs themselves. That's what's sort of tricky about bulbs.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But no, that will not hurt them.
Okay.
That won't hurt them at all.
Thank you very much.
Well, now, Mr. Mayor, before we let you go.
Yes?
We had a great turkey and noodle dinner at the last St. Francis Ladies Card Party, served by you and your lovely wife. And there's another one coming up in November. Will you be involved in the festivities there, or are you taking that one off?
No, I'm not. I won't be. We won't be involved again until March. This is the last one for this year, the November one is.
Okay.
And then we will be back in March, and we will have our spaghetti.
Oh, good. I knew you had a turkey farm, but now it's nice to know you have a spaghetti farm.
Yeah.
Good luck
yeah.
with that crop, because that can be tricky, too.
Yeah, it needs to be harvested right now. It's about to touch the ground.
Okay, very good. Take care of that today. Thank you so much. Thank you. That is, I don't think he'd mind if I said that's Dave Hildebrand, and he's a wonderful guy. And I say he's the mayor of Paloma. He is not the mayor of Paloma, of course. The people of Paloma have more sense than that, but that's just what we call him. So having
very
fun
good.
With him
very
today.
Good.
So there again, the tulips. Anytime you're going to plant a bulb now, because this is bulb planting time in the
yes.
fall.
Yes, it is. It is indeed. And, of course, I'm far more enthused about things like daffodils, because the critters don't seem to like them as much, and they do reliably come back for you. Whereas the tulips are a kind of a crapshoot, I have to say. Unfortunately, my husband bought 100 tulip bulbs. He does not plan on planting them. Guess who he plans on having to plant them?
The master gardener he's married to.
100 tulip bulbs in... Oh.
Now, did you just see what happened up in Lee County, Iowa? They set a Guinness Book of World Records. They planted tulips, and they had, over I think, over 1,000 volunteers... And they planted all these tulips within a half, I think it was a half hour they were supposed to get them done, and I think they did. And
wow.
So there's going to be a whole field, I guess,
cool.
of tulips up there somewhere
nice.
In Lee County. So
very
if
nice.
You, it, we know people love tulips, and a lot of people prefer tulips, but a daffodil is a reasonable substitute.
Bulb that will be a little more reliable for you, but if you just want that spectacular spring show and you're not terribly worried about having them come back and are willing to plant the bulbs again the next fall, hey, go for it.
Okay. It is 9:34. We'll take a break, and your phone calls are welcome at 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. We don't have any topic this morning that's off limits. Anything about planting vegetables, fruits, bulbs, trees, we don't care. Just give us a call, 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. You're listening to WTAD AM 930 and WTAD FM 103.3 now on your FM dial. Tom Petty. Tom Petty is free falling, and he is 66 years young today. My guest is Kathy Carpenter, the third Thursday of every month. You can always count on Kathy to come here and give us great advice. And today we're talking about planting bulbs in the fall. That's when you should do it. The other thing that I've never been able to do is take a mum that somebody bought at the store that's in a pot that you're supposed to be able to pot and plant out in your yard somewhere. I've never been able to get one to come back the next year. I mean, Jeff Rakers from South End Plants, I love his philosophy. Just buy new. Of course, he's in the business of selling you.
Them. Yes.
Moms and what's those things at Christmas time?
Poinsettias.
And,
yes.
You know,
uh-huh.
and lilies and all these things. You know, of course, that's his job. So he loves it when nobody has a green thumb and can't do it. But can you really go to a garden center and get a mom that's in one of those green plastic things and really get that to grow?
Well, it is. It's a little more difficult simply because mums have a very shallow root system. And when you get one that's been in its pot to the blooming stage, because mums naturally bloom in the fall. If you get mums that are blooming other times of year, you're probably looking at florist mums, which are not really intended to be hardy up in our neck of the woods. But the garden mums, the problem is you take them out of the pot, try to plant them in the ground. But generally that's in the fall. And what happens is because they're shallow rooted, they're very subject to frost heat.
To freeze, yeah.
And basically what happens is when it freezes, it pushes the mum up out of the ground. So if you're planting one that's that size, that maturity, you're going to have to mulch it to a very large extent and plant it in a more protected area, at least for that year.
Well, they had a wonderful picture in the Herald Whig recently. I think her name is Mrs. Taylor.
I
lives
saw
on
that picture.
Main Street, and she has the lions out that she always decorates for the season. And she has this thing of mums that just goes on forever. And
right.
She said it's been a great year for moms.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like everything else, it's seasonal.
She didn't say how many she had to replant, though, in the spring. But, you know, the best time, actually, spring is the better time. If you can get order small mum plants in the spring and get them in, that will give them the time to develop that root system so that after they bloom and the freezes hit, they'll be very well established and will probably come back for you much more reliably than planting them full grown in the fall out of their pots.
Can you keep them as a houseplant over the winter?
You'd have to probably get them the right conditions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got another caller.
Okay.
Please don't talk about my mom. No. Caller, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just walked in the house, and you're talking about mums. I wanted to ask, I have some that did come from you take them out of the green pots, and I've had them 2 years, and this year they're about 3 feet across. Would I be better off to wait till next spring? I heard something about their shallow roots. Should mm-hmm. I, or could I divide them next spring and start one elsewhere?
Yes, I would pick spring to divide them. Wait until they come, you know, you see those little green leaves beginning to come up. And then it'd be the time to dig them up and kind of cut them into a quarter, depending on how big the root system is. You know, half, quarters, thirds, something like that. And then replant immediately where you want them. And they should be fine.
Okay, so like, should I take a spade and cut straight down, like in the middle, or like you say, quarters?
Well, what I would do actually is I'd dig the whole plant out. That way you can see all the roots and where they are, and you can make your decision whether you have enough roots to make, divide it into quarters or maybe only divide it into half. It's purely your decision at that point. But it'll be a small plant and should jump, you know, right back for you after you replant them.
Well, jumping ahead on something, I've heard that you should trim the blooms in like the 4th of July so that they do bloom in the fall better.
Well, it's
have you ever heard that?
Yes, I have. And it's basically a way of keeping your plants from getting too tall more than that. You want to cut them back so the auxiliary buds that are usually located right where the leaves are in the leaf axils will be stimulated to produce, to mature and come to flower, make flower bulbs.
Okay. Well, this is just so packed with flowers. I mean, there's
gorgeous.
A thousand little blooms on it. One more question back to this. When's a good time in the spring then? Like when, first of all, do you just leave the plant, let it dry, and leave it there? I've heard you should leave it kind of for landscape appearances, you know, instead of cutting it off.
Once they get all brown, you know, most people are not real fond of seeing bunches of brown plants there.
Yeah.
And once they're completely brown, the nutrients have all gone to the roots now, and you can cut them to the ground.
Okay.
And then,
so then they grow in the spring. And
they'll grow in the spring.
May or when's a good time to
do this? Take a look at the plant itself. And when the green leaves begin to start coming out,
mm-hmm.
that's when, if you're going to divide them, you divide them.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you so very much. What a jam-packed question. That was great.
Works for asters, too.
Okay.
You know, the fall blooming asters, they
okay.
can get real big, and I had to prune late in okay. mine. And I
we have another caller.
Okay.
For Kathy Carpenter, you're on the air. What's your question, please?
Yes, I have a Bradford pear that's an old model that has quite a few big, large branches. The trunk's just not one trunk. Do I need to thin that out after the leaves fall off, or can I do that now?
I'd wait till after. Number one, the main thing is that you'll see the branch structure much better, and you can make a decision then, you know, which branches are interfering with other branches or crossing over where they might rub when they blow in the wind. Bradford pears are notorious for having what they call a very narrow angle between the branches and the trunk. And a lot of time, it makes them very susceptible to wind damage when we have our high wind storms.
Mm-hmm.
So once the leaves are gone, take a look at that tree, look at the how the branches are going, and envision what you really want it to look like and which branches need to be taken out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Isn't the Bradford pear one of those trees that's really beautiful in the fall?
It's beautiful. Well, it's more beautiful in the
spring
with all those
white
flowers.
Okay.
But unfortunately, they were supposed to be infertile, and some of them never got that message. So occasionally they do produce little pears, which then will seed themselves all over the place.
So make sure you get a barren pear. We are back. We've learned about Bradford pears. We've learned about tulips. We've learned about all kinds of great things, and it's always a pleasure to have Kathy Carpenter here. And one of the reasons she comes on the Mary Griffith Show is, as a master gardener, she's obligated to help teach others. And so she thought, instead of getting down in the dirt all the time and getting dirty, I'm going to sit on my perch here in the warm, comfortable confines of WT80 Radio and just expose, espouse different views, I guess. You can become a master gardener. Now, it takes some work. There's a lot of study. I mean, you really are going to get like a semester's worth of college in horticulture practically. But Kathy, tell us when the next class is and how we can get involved.
Well, it's actually starting on January the 24th, which will be, I'm not quite sure why they're teaching botany first and then doing the orientation, but that's okay. The idea tells you it'll be actually a webinar over in the Adams County office, and it will kind of fill you in on what a master gardener, not just about plants, but about what a master gardener actually does and what's required. And then it will continue through the rest of January, February, March, and then there'll be two classes, the 4th and the 11th of April. And in this case, because we're an extension that embraces five different counties, the classes will be kind of a movable feast. You know, we'll go from like Adams to Hancock to Pike to Schuyler, and then we'll repeat. So it'll be interesting. Most of the time, there'll be two webinars, and the rest of the time, it'll be the individual teacher will be right there with you, and we'll be able to immediately, you know, answer your questions or move the class whichever way they would like.
Now, when you sign up, there's a cost, but you get some great lifelong materials,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes.
Big books
the
of dollars.
The cost is $175, which is pretty pricey. But I'll tell you, the book is pretty much worth almost that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have your teachers who are very, very well-qualified extension educators and experts in their areas of expertise that they're teaching.
Okay, so the thing of it is, you can't wait till January to express an interest. You really
exactly.
need to call extension, because
exactly.
last year they canceled. So this cannot
we didn't
be
have enough.
Right, you can't be a last-minute person here. If you want to become a master gardener, call the extension office today, and that number is?
217-223-8380. And all you have to do is ask for an application, and they'll get it to you.
They'll zip it out to you, or, of course, go online to University of Illinois Extension, and that'll be great. We've only got 30 seconds left. Gardener's Palette, one of the things we look forward every spring.
Uh-huh.
Let's give us the dates, because this is a must-planning thing.
Yep,
for those
yep.
who missed it last year because they had something else planned, do not miss Gardener's Palette. You don't have to be a master gardener. In fact, everybody. The benefit
is all of us.
It's for all of us to learn.
Mm-hmm. And we're just starting the planning now, but the date is set, and it is going to be a little later this year, which will help us a bit because sometimes we conflict with events in the city. But it's the 11th of March. That's a Saturday. And it's going to be kind of an all-day session. Usually begins around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and gets out around 3, thereabouts. And we're already starting planning. We'll have things like sustainable gardening and caterpillar food sources. Shade gardening.
Okay.
We're going to have a cooking demonstration. Yeah, lots of stuff. We haven't even decided on all of it yet,
okay.
but I'll be updating you.
Okay, so keep that in mind for future use. You're listening to Talk Radio 930 WTAD AM and 103.3 FM, Quincy Hannibal Keokuk.